the other end then. How are you doing?
All right.
Are you seriously all right? Really?
I'm a lot better. A lot better. Yeah, I'm going. I was just saying to Wendy McCulloch in Advice Wizards that I'm going home at about 3:30 every day at the moment, and going to sleep in my garden.
So I don't know about that, but you know, I hadn't sort of realised how bad it was. I mean, you said I think I had the last sort of laser coaching before you keeled over, didn't you? I think you were feeling pretty.
Yeah,
at the time, and then the post-viral fatigue thing, so I just thought, you know, you run out of steam. But this email of the tubes and stuff.
Well, actually, it was, last one was Wednesday the 20th or something, you and I were talking last, and Wednesday 23rd of June, what I had done that week, on the day before, I'd been to Bristol to see Lighthouse Group, Alan Rosengren, the chief exec.
Yeah.
And then I had laser coaching the next day. I was in bed. And the next Tuesday I was in hospital. So,
really? So did you stayed in hospital, did you?
Or? Oh, just for a couple of days, right. For lots of tests and, you know, things all over. I think bottom line was, it was fatigue, but it's actually much more serious than I'd realised. And so they basically said, you know, you have developed chronic fatigue over a number of years, and you just keep ignoring the symptoms, and if you're not careful, it will switch into ME, and then you've got a long-term problem.
Yeah, right.
So, so I'm getting told off left, right, centre by just about all of my...
Everybody.
Yeah, every one of my clients, particularly the female clients, they're all telling me off. My wife is telling me off. My daughters are phoning me from Australia and all sorts of places saying, will you stop being such a complete idiot? And so that's what's caused me to, from my hospital bed, start designing a completely new business in my head.
Is that allowable?
You try sleeping in an ED unit, it's impossible. I jest. I really slept for about 3 days and then started thinking, this cannot go on. So big things are happening behind the scenes, and that they will kind of begin to emerge during the course of late this year, early next year.
Yeah.
But here I am, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And I do feel lucky, because they did think it was a heart attack.
Really?
I was walking to work walking back home very early from work on the Monday after I got out of bed, and next thing I was in an ambulance being rushed to the hospital. So that's when my family started screaming at me, complete Burke, you know.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, you think you sort of get okay, you're tired, take it easy. You know,
okay,
we've got holiday coming up fairly soon.
Yes.
Just get through to that and then recharge, but yeah, if you keel over completely. Slightly different proposition.
It is, but so I'm trying to be sensible, but I have to say it's quite difficult. After a lifetime of
not being sensible,
of habits, thinking you're Superman.
Yeah, I think that's why. I mean, maybe that is a male female thing. I mean, I think we do think that we can just carry on.
Yes.
And you know. We're not immortal, but we can still do the things now that we could when we were 20.
I really can't do the things now that I could 10 years ago, and so I've got to stop trying. And
being realistic about what you can do and what you can't do.
Absolutely.
Focusing what's the important things.
Yeah. Do you know, Ian, it really, really helped me to very quickly focus on, what's really important here? And so coming back to work already, there are a lot of things I don't do now. Some things I won't do at all anymore, and some things that I've already started to outsource. I do feel a lot more relaxed because of it. But, there will be further changes.
Right, because I know, we were talking before about, the sole millionaire thing, and you thought you'd sort of lost track of that. And I think that's right, I mean, your last email said, it's easy to get wrapped up in the day-to-day stuff, and you're doing it for all the right reasons, but occasionally, you don't have time to stand back and actually think, hang on, what's this all about? Is it really what I thought it was about?
Yes. I don't recommend that as a way of standing back.
It would be nice. I think you could just do that. Just common sense. But unfortunately, we're too daft to probably do that most of the time.
Yeah.
And even if people are trying to suggest it, you still you still don't take that much notice.
Yeah,
by and large,
you do think your energy is limitless, and you're right. You know, you and I, the years are rolling on, and we really can't do what we used to do. So I've been given a serious slap on the wrist and a real wake up call, and now I've got to make great efforts to work that into everything I do, including my business, and then communicate that to my clients so that they do the same.
They do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're off for August anyway, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm taking 2 weeks completely out, and then I'm kind of cruising the last 2 weeks in August, being very flexible as to what I do. So I'm in Missouri for the first week in August, which is really exciting.
All right.
My brother owns, moved there from a very busy, stressful life in Florida with his wife, who's a cop.
Right.
And he was head of A&D in one of the Florida hospitals, so their life was particularly busy. And she just said, "I can't take this anymore. I'm a lieutenant in the in the police force. It's seriously stressful. I'm running to a point of nervous breakdown." And so she retired early at an age of about 42, and he said, "Take with it, let's do it." And so they went traipsing around America looking for a little homestead, and they found, wait for this, Ian, 100 acres in Missouri for $200,000. This is mad. This is madness.
Absolutely. What are we doing here?
So that's where I'm going, on this 100-acre homestead.
So you'll be doing a bit of cattle rounding up and...
Well, you know, they just got some horses and some this, that and the other. And he now has his dream job, which is a helicopter medic. He's dreamed about doing that ever since he was a young boy.
Yeah.
And he saw it on television and said, "That's what I want to be." And he's landed himself a job as a senior helicopter medic, and he loves it.
Yeah.
So, and his wife now works part-time, you know, with him as one of the air traffic controllers in that organisation. So, now, what about you? What's happening about you? where are you in the Lake District at the end? Just remind me.
Lake District, Northwest.
Sorry, Northwest, sorry.
We haven't moved.
Yes.
It's pretty wet up there, I must say, so anything's possible, I suppose. But
so you've got no sunshine at the moment.
It's been bizarre. I mean, we had 2 months where it didn't rain at all.
Right.
And then the last 3 weeks it hasn't stopped.
Oh, my goodness.
My wife works, she's flooded, so she hasn't been to work for the last couple of days.
Oh, for goodness. Is it beautiful?
Oh, God, it's absolutely wonderful, I mean, that's why we live here, because it's just,
And how do you pronounce the name of your town?
Porthmadog.
Porthmadog.
With a bit of a rolling of the R, which I'm not very good at, but... it's a great place to live.
It sounds beautiful.
It is wonderful.
It really does.
If you want to go to meetings and stuff like that, you know, it's generally Manchester, which is 2.5 hours away, but...
Right.
I look at it, okay, we do that, or go to the theatre or concerts or something.
Yes.
We do that probably once every couple of months.
Okay.
Every morning. Well, when the weather's all right, every morning I look out the window and I see Snowdon and the sea.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's every morning, so we can live with the travelling up to Manchester, every couple of months.
That must be so inspiring to do that.
Yeah, absolutely,
So where did you move from?
It's all mid-Wales prior to that, and Suffolk. And I mean, I've always been fortunate in living in sort of reasonably rural areas, but this is different.
Yeah, I bet it is.
It's beautiful.
Was it difficult to make that decision in the sense that it is beautiful, but, as you say, there are journey times to take into account, or was it very easy?
Well, it was easy, because, it all, like most things in life, I sort of spend my life trying to talk to clients about planning and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
But most of my life has been a complete bodge. So I tend not to tell people that. things have sort of happened, and I mean, we moved to Wales with my ex-wife.
Yes.
Who's been wanting to move, because she lived here when she was younger.
Yes.
And I was living in Suffolk then, and she'd been on about moving to Wales for years, and I'd sort of resisted it, because of, sort of work and people speaking Welsh and being foreign and that sort of stuff. And then finally, why not?
Yes.
Let's do it. So that's 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
8 years ago. No, more than that, 10 years ago. And then the bizarre thing is, we've split up, she's gone back to Suffolk and I've ended up staying here. Because I just think it's a great place to live.
It sounds good.
And she didn't, it wasn't... I mean, they always say you should never go back, don't they? And and maybe that's it.
Yes.
You know, when she got here, it wasn't how it was when she was, you know, when she was 20.
Yeah.
I was looking at it afresh. And, you know, it wasn't only that, but there were lots of things, you know,
yes,
in the relationship, and it just all went to pot. So, so I came to stay here, got to be working where I am now, got settled in the area, love it, met somebody else, got married again, and this is my home.
That's wonderful.
And, yeah, no, I don't have any regrets about that. Well, I have regrets about my previous marriage.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't have any regrets about being here.
Yeah.
It's a great place to live. And as I said, the travelling backwards and forwards, we just deal with that. It's worth it.
Sure.
For the benefits.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, being able to just, you know, I can walk out the back of our house and climb up into, and I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I can take the dog for a walk on the beach maybe if I want to. Yeah, it's just brilliant.
It sounds brilliant. It sounds really, really delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you'd be at peace down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is peaceful. Yes. Peace and contentment, I think, would probably describe my life at the moment, really. Definite feeling of contentment.
That's good. I look at each of you and I think, well, I'm trying to help you in certain areas of your business which can cause, which can unsettle your peace when you get it wrong and really rattle you and cause you distress and so on and so forth. So I'm trying to help in those areas. But at the end of the day, I suppose what I want for all of you, if we can just more than patch this up, but actually make it better, the business side, and make it enjoyable and fulfilling and profitable, but then also help you protect your peace, then I would feel really good about that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the issue for me is, you know, it seems to me the worst thing, I mean, I know you've got different sort of religious beliefs to what I have, but I mean, I think this is it. And, you know, nothing will, I die, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the worst thing in the world to me is to be lying on your deathbed thinking, I wish I'd done.
Yes.
And that's awful.
That would be terribly sad.
Yeah, you know, I can't imagine anything worse than that.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm trying to live my life, and that's what I want to get across to my clients, really.
Yes.
You know, what is it? You know, how do you avoid being in that situation. So that's what I've been trying to do with the business.
Okay.
To focus it on, you know, that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to flog you a pension or an ISA.
Yeah.
I'm really not that interested. It's, you know, what is it you want to do? You know, and how can we get you to those things?
But more and more as I listen to you and many of the others, I realise that the September workshop I need to slow the pace down in this workshop and allow each of you to spend more time talking and thinking like this, and perhaps giving you some tools. I don't mean software tools or anything else, but some methods of questioning, methods of working with clients, methods of speaking, just in that first precious couple of hours when you start to lay the platform for what you really like to do with their lives. So, and I think many of you that are coming to the workshops now are thinking, you know, I really want to, this is what I'd like to do, and this is how I'd like to change people's lives, and have probably never quite been trained or given the tools to do that most effectively.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I'm very conscious of that. You know, okay, this is what I want to do, and I know that's what I want to do.
Yes.
And I know we've got the some of the tools, we've got the Truth software and all that sort of stuff to do the financial planning side of it, which is important.
Yes.
But in terms of the questioning skills, the listening skills, the coaching skills. I've picked up bits and pieces of that along the way. You know, I've picked some of it up from you, obviously, and I've been to see George Kinder and Nandy Jervis, I've spoken to, and a bit of Backrack and Marianne Nemeth. I went to one of her sessions.
Oh, did you? She's I've heard she's lovely.
She was wonderful. I mean, it, you know, of all the things I've done this year, that was probably the best, whatever it was, 4 hours.
Yeah.
She was absolutely inspiring, and the book is excellent as well.
Where did you see her?
That was an IFP thing in Birmingham somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was. I just, you know, sort of an IFP thing, and sort of, you know, went over there, and it was, yeah, it was a brilliant session.
Okay.
You know, I think he spoke about 3 or 4 hours, I think.
Right.
In a couple of seconds. Yeah, a very inspiring woman, and you know, and, you know, the whole thing, and different ways of looking at life, and again, I mean, similar to Kinder insofar as, you know, some of it's money and some of it's spiritual, and
yes,
you know, sort of Buddhism and all sorts of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Going on in there, but I found it much easier to listen to and relate to than I did George Kinder.
Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Not, you know, that, I mean, I'm sure that's a personal thing. Other people I know, you know, think Kinder's absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
But personally, I found Marie and Emmett much more in tune with the way I look at things. Yeah, absolutely excellent.
That's really interesting.
I don't know if she gets over to the UK.
I'm looking out for her actually, yeah, because I missed her when she came over last time. I can't remember where I was, but I just really was upset about missing her. And I thought, I really want to talk to this lady because she sounds really inspiring. And it's interesting, when I started coaching 6 years ago, I spent most of my time working at a pretty spiritual level. Quite different to Dennis Hall in London, said to me, you're becoming a bit contentious here. He didn't say that. He said, you're becoming pretty controversial. Why are you doing this? I said, well, I don't know. Maybe I should just review how I'm coming across the audiences, because maybe I'm having fun being controversial and, you know, and abrasive, and maybe I should go back to who I really was, which was the soul millionaire, which was to inspire and lift and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's a big rethink for me as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people will get that and some people won't. But like,
yeah.
And you know, that's, you always, I mean, alienate your non-prospects is fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if people don't want that, you know, if they want a purely business structured, okay, this is how you this is how you do that, this is how you get more people, and this is how you set up your business, this
yes,
you're doing all that sort of stuff, okay, fine, there's plenty of people out there.
There are.
You know, some of them are good, some of them are less good, but they're there. But it seems to me that, you know, from the first conversation I had with you, that wasn't really what it was about.
Yeah.
And certainly reading The Soul Millionaire, that's not what that's about.
No, it wasn't. That's not where I started at all. So that's what I mean by I've got lost. Not that I shouldn't be teaching people how to run a profitable business, but within that I need to weave more of where I started.
Yeah.
And I think that's right, that will alienate some people, lots of people, but that's fine, because that's maybe not who I want around me. But what's really interesting, actually, Ian, is in spite of me behaving like that now over the last couple of years, and becoming actually quite controversial and splitting audiences and even becoming slightly abrasive, the people that seem to have come into the inner circle and remained longer than 12 months seem to be, nevertheless, to all want to be together and like being together, and there's a common thread running not through me but through them, you. I don't know, it's really weird observing it. I'm not quite sure why that is.
Well, maybe it's because, you know, the way you do it attracts a certain type of person, or, you know, people who look at the world and what they do in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, so there is more. Yeah, so there's that in common, perhaps.
Yeah. And those that visit, I guess, some of them are finding it uncomfortable, some absolutely love it. Now, look, about you.
I want to talk about you as well, really, just to see what was going on with you, really.
What was going on? I'm just being a bit of a twit.
What's
silly about this, and this is perhaps a lesson for you too, is I really did get down to a 3-day working week for you, my existing clients, in terms of all the things that I was wrapping around the service. I actually got down to it about 18 months ago, and all I've done is I've filled the other 2 days with masses of stuff. Quite important stuff for the future, but it didn't need to go at the pace I've been going at, which moved back from whatever.
I don't know whether it is. I try to analyse myself on what I'm doing. I mean, there is a part of me, and maybe it's the same for you. I mean, I don't know your background, but it's this sort of Protestant work ethic.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you're not working yourself to death. You're sort of shortchanging yourself and the world somehow.
Isn't that interesting? That's exactly how I've been feeling for years.
Yeah.
And I think we're not right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think it's right. But I know, you know, from my point of view, you know, I mean, it comes from my parents, I'm sure. I'm not blaming my parents for my failures. I mean, you know, that's, my failures are my fault.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, I mean, they were, you know, they worked blooming hard,
yes,
to get my sister and I, you know, my father was a printer for 50 plus years.
Right.
You know, worked blooming long hours, always did. My mother went out to work as soon as we were at school, you know, senior school, to get money. So, you know, we both went to grammar school, you know, past 11 plus and went to grammar school. And I went to university and, you know, they pay for all that stuff. And it was all about, you know, trying to get on and, you know, do better than they'd done, really.
Right.
To get on, you had to work hard.
Yes.
And I guess that was always ingrained in me.
Uh-huh.
And you know, from them, and also from my experience at the grammar school, really, because unfortunately,
yeah,
I mean, we lived on a council estate, and the grammar school was sort of on the edge of this council estate. And I think I was the only one in my year,
right,
came from the council estate, and it was fairly obvious that I came from the council estate because I walked to the school in a completely different direction to everybody else.
Right.
So I had to, you know, justify my place being there.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And that's still there, and I know it's there.
Yeah.
And I try and sort of, you know, okay, you don't actually have to do that anymore, but it's there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think a lot of us have got that. You know, we need to be working all the time.
Yeah.
But it's what you're working at that's important, really.
That's really spooky. You've just reminded me that I was the first coloured child in my second primary school.
Right.
First coloured child in my grammar school. Most of them in Hertfordshire had never actually seen anybody coloured in their life.
Mm.
This was 1950, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the message I got from my mum was, because you are the first, you have to work harder than everybody else.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I can actually hear her voice now telling me that. And that's what I bought. You know, and so I've been doing that ever since.
Yeah, well, that's right, and we think we've grown up and we've sort of got, you know, grown out of this stuff.
But, yes.
You know, that's somewhere where some of the sort of George Kinder stuff is interesting. I mean, you know, getting back to, you know, these sort of deep-seated beliefs and things that are drummed into you when you're a child.
Yes.
Do still determine to a large extent your attitude.
Yeah.
Your attitude, you know, I mean, you're talking about money particularly, but, you know, even in sort of late adulthood.
Right.
You've still got these belief systems. And you think, yeah, okay, this is bizarre. I mean, all things have happened to me since, and I've still got these strange ideas.
So here's a question. Have you got a pen there?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've really brought some interesting thoughts into today's, you know, conversation, discussion. How can we, to your business and your life, bring the... Okay, let's list them. The grace of Maria Nemeth, because she has this grace about her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The insight and structure of Bill Bachrach and George Kinder, because they do have
Bachrach particularly. There's a structure.
Definite structure. There's a model, and the cheekiness of hold on, let me just turn to him. Tim Ferriss.
Don't know.
Okay, who's not necessarily a spiritual, well, he is quite spiritual, he's kind of not particularly religious or anything like that, but he thinks on a fairly spiritual level. Tim Ferriss wrote the book, The Four, if you just jot this down, Four-Hour Work Week. Okay, it's quite cheeky, he's a cheeky kind of chap. But after you've read it, you think, actually, some of the mindsets I've got about the way I behave in my working life are really a little bit stupid.
Yeah.
My challenge to you would be that, and we've got things to discuss, clearly we have. I'm going to be here by email over the next couple of weeks, so please do use me in that sense.
Yeah, okay.
That over the summer, over the August, you might want to review Maria Nemeth's material, review where you are in terms of the marketing structure and the service structure.
Mm.
if you could come back to me by email about where you are on that point, where is your marketing strategy? How far have you got? Because you've got a 24-point marketing strategy in the last workbook.
Yeah.
And the workbook before that.
Yeah.
You've also got a service structure strategy from a previous workshop, Surprising Fees Protocol.
I just want
to know where you are with that. Would that be okay?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
And you tell me where the gaps are, and that's what we'll start picking up on. But I'd like to know your views on reviewing what you heard from Maria, going to her website, pulling down some stuff there. Having a look at Cheeky Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, okay.
It's a really easy read.
But
it's like, you've read the E-Myth, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's like that. It looks short, it looks brief, but by the time you've got through it, you think, blimey.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
Good. Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's good. Because what I'm sort of working on at the moment is a new website.
Right.
I sent you the home page, didn't I, before?
Yes.
And you sort of looked at those and thought they were okay.
Just give me that URL again.
Sorry? We'd ended up with a technical term, apparently is a splash page.
Right.
Like the IFP, because I've got two home pages.
Oh,
one
yes.
For you're moving ever faster towards retirement.
Right.
And you're happily retired and living comfortably.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So we've got a landing page, and then they've got a choice of clicking on.
Okay.
Two different buttons. Four different buttons, actually, because one's in. There's a bilingual version as well. For each one.
Right.
which I still need to address. But yeah, so we've got two. So they then click on
okay.
the button that says you are moving ever faster towards retirement.
Right.
So that's people are still late 50s looking at retiring in the next 5 to 10 years. And then the ones who are already retired, because we've got quite a number of those as existing clients, and I don't really want to upset them too much.
Okay.
Because they're good clients. So that's the sort of they're the bits I sent you. So I think we're okay with those. So they're the sort of firmed up. And then it's a case of what happens after that. And I've binned most of what I'd already got.
Right.
I've got what we will do for you, which is sort of based on the 12 outcomes.
Okay.
And the client journey that
All
we
right.
talked about.
Uh-huh.
And an adaption of the sort of three hats that Paul Armisen uses.
Okay.
So that's what we will do for you.
And the web address is, just give me that again.
I'm not sure what it is at the moment because it's not up and running.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I've got the web designers on it, and I'm working on the content.
Right.
So at some stage, we need to sort of have a look at the content side of it, really.
Okay. What I'll do then, in conclusion, the minute I have found myself two different copywriters. One is a web copywriter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had used some in the past, but I'm reviewing that. And a sales copywriter, different to a web copywriter, who does things like sales landing pages and brochures that actually draw people in rather than just corporately say how beautiful we are, then I will let each of you know. Because I think I want you to be able to access them as well as me.
That's the thing. I mean, once we've sort of designed this perfect service,
yes,
okay, that's going to evolve, but we need to get that across to people as well, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is different. I mean, it's not a typical IFA, even financial planner website. I've looked at loads of them and quite good IFA or good financial planners that I respect, and the websites don't, by and large, say what I want them to say.
They're not very good. They're not very strong. Okay, very good.
You better be heading off.
I'll drop you a line, and please email me before I go on holiday.
Yeah, okay, it was good talking. I'm glad you sound a lot brighter than you did last time I spoke to you, which is good news.
I do feel it.
Yeah, good.
Thanks,
okay,
see you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.